at night. Ryan wiped sweat from his forehead, straightened, and looked toward the east.
Not long.
Already there was the first lightning of the sky, heralding the arrival of the false dawn. In less than an hour, it would be full light, and the column of ants would be on the move again, heading directly toward them.
Doc, you sure that this guy Linegan was telling the truth about what he did?
I had no reason to doubt him.
Ugh. The smell of some of that meat would have made a gator puke. Still, we've built it. Now we wait and see if they'll come.
His eyes wide with exhaustion, Dean walked unsteadily to join the others on the rim of the basin. He was licking his fingers, and his face was smeared with a layer of honey.
Ready as we'll ever be.
Christy glanced across to where Itzcoatl was deep in conversation with his council of priests and elders. He was waving his hands vigorously, constantly pointing toward the east. The chief caught Ryan's eye and broke off from the talk. He walked slowly to join the Anglos. He glanced toward where Jack Lauren was still at work, shepherding the natives who were responsible for the first wave of gasoline. Jack's hair flamed like a beacon of snowy fire in the pre-dawn gloom.
We have done all you said. If the gods labor with us, then we cannot fail.
The plan worked before, and I vow that it will work again. How can it fail with such an effort from everyone?
I hope the forest gods are not angry at us for doing this thing.
The ants will come this way. They will find the trail of wild honey that has been laid out near where they have stopped for the night. They will follow that and then catch the odor of the rotting meat. As sure as mighty Phoebus Apollo drives his chariot on the heels of the goddess of the moon, who's called... I just remember that. It matters not a jot. The ants will be lured here into this basin of rock, where they will discover the feast of a lifetime.
And they will all come to dine.
Sure. And then all the carrying of gas across those miles of forest will be worth it. We pour it down on them, and then... it'll be over.
Ryan feigned confidence, managing to hide his serious doubt that Doc's plan would really work. The thing that everyone noticed first about the break of dawn was the stillness. An oppressive silence hung to the tops of the trees behind them, like an almost palpable entity, a silence that clung around the waiting men and women, like an unwrapped shroud.
The ants are still there.
The whole jungle knows it. Want me to go check them, Ryan?
No. Everyone's done their part. Now we just keep still and quiet, and wait to see if Doc's right.
So, I'm to carry the can if things turn awry, am I?
I'll be the first to tell you so, Doc. In between running away from here very fast in the opposite direction.
I can't share your amusement, Dr. Wyeth. I fear that failure here will mean the end for all these poor people.
Bullshit, Doc. If you hadn't come up with a plan, they'd have been lost anyway. It should work. It will work.
Itzcoatl walked over to join them. He had a fan with a turquoise handle, and he used it to swat away the hordes of flies that had been attracted by the stinking mess of rotten meat and honey that filled the natural basin of rock.
The ants do not come.
Give them time. We don't know how close they are to this place. How early they start in the morning. How far they got last night. We don't know any of this. We just have to wait and be patient.
I will send a recon man. He will tell us where the ants are, and if they are, come here.
I guess so.
It was a man in his 30s, with a stocky build of a wrestler. His body was almost naked, painted with white and yellow stripes that formed a complicated pattern across his chest.
His name is Crushing Bull. He is ready for war. This is war.
He speak American?
No, very little.
Then tell him that a dead hero is no use to us. He has to keep clear and not risk his life. Then run and tell us what news there is of the ants.
I will tell him, but that is not the way of courage of my people. To look and run away with no prisoners or dead enemy or wounds on your own body to show how brave you have been. Not our way.
Tell him anyway. We need to know if they're coming and how far away they are so we can all get real ready.
I will tell him.
Crushing Bull had been gone for a little over 25 minutes. Ryan glanced at his cron.
Could be the ants have gone off on a different route.
Unlikely, friend Corder. Once set on their course, very little will divert them.
I honestly don't know whether I hope that you're right or wrong, Doc.
He coming.
Itzcoatl turned to the Anglos and smiled, showing his filed inlaid teeth.
All is hunky-dory. Crushing Bull runs to us with good news.
Not all good news, Chief. The man making those shouts is in great pain. Listen, you can hear naked agony in that voice.
Everyone scrambled for a vantage point, shading their eyes against the rising sun, peering toward the edge of the forest that lay to the east. Christy was at Ryan's side.
The man's dying. I can feel it.
Then they all saw him. He was running as if he were underwater, arms and legs pumping in slow motion, his head thrown back, the tendons in his neck strained like whipcord. His dark body was patterned with patches and streaks of bright red.
Ants got him.
Crushing Bull was dying in front of them, from hundreds of vicious acid bites, his blood boiling in his veins. He was almost blind. Blood ran down over the tattoos on his chest.
He says they are only a half mile behind him, and they come this way. This way.
Crushing Bull was down now, slumping to his hands and knees, less than 200 yards away from them. But nobody made any effort to try to go to the aid of the helpless man. Ryan unslung the Steyr. He brought the walnut stock to his shoulder and drew a bead on Crushing Bull. He glanced sideways at its coatl, who nodded. The bullet struck the crouching man between his puffed, bleeding eyes and kicked him over onto his back.
Thanks to you.
Best way.
One of the youngest of the warriors dived in and snatched up the spent cartridge, tucking it into the small leather pouch around his neck.
It will be good magic.
Sure. Well, we got the news. Best all get ready.
Following Ryan's orders, everyone crouched behind the rear wall of the rocky basin, out of sight. He had told them to keep completely still so that the lead ants wouldn't be aware of their presence. The mess of honey-covered meat did its stuff. The first outrunners appeared, barely visible, tiny spots of fire among the vivid green of the lush grass, picking their cautious way closer to the rim of the sandstone, followed by dozens more, hundreds more, thousands, then millions.
By the three Kennedys, I swear that the sight is just as Mr. Leiningen described it. An army that covered the ground like a living blanket of flame.
Everyone keep still. It's Coatl. Pass the word quietly through your people that nobody is to move until I give the word.
I hear and obey.
Think they'll smell the gas?
Wind's right for us, blowing light from the east. Carry it away from the ants.
The tantalizing odor was driving the swarming insects frantic. The mass was rolling forward, overwhelming the scouts, flooding into the basin to gorge on the feast that had been planned for them.
Wait. Soon.
For the countless horde to fill the bowl of sandstone took more than an hour. But by then, the whole place was a seething mass of tumbling, crazed ants.
It's Coatl. Make sure that your people understand that they must move away before I set the fire. They can watch, but it must be from a safe distance.
I have told them. They understand this. We are not stupid, you see.
Sure.
Ryan stared down at the insects, trying to judge the moment. The torrent seemed to have slowed to a stream, and the grass was visible behind them, showing that most of the army had already followed the scent of the meat and honey.
I think now.
Nahol!
Every container from the village had been used. Gourds and buckets and bowls, all filled to overflowing with the precious pre-dark gasoline from the yellow tank. Now it was tipped over the edge of the steep-sided basin.
Faster! The moment they suspect a trap, they'll be out of here!
The air filled with the heavy fumes of gasoline as gallon after gallon poured down the sloping sandstone. The attack seemed to have thrown the ants into total confusion. They were milling around, most of them still eating on, oblivious to the rising level of the liquid. But a significant number seemed to be grouping together, heads in the air, antennae twitching.
Jack! Dean! How much more gas?
Less than a quarter. Gone fast. Another 2 minutes will do it.
Ryan bit his lip. They obviously couldn't expect to kill every one of the ants, but it was vital that they didn't allow a significant portion to escape from the trap.
1 minute!
Some of them are coming this way, and lots of the others have stopped eating, drowning in the pool of gas.
I know! 40 seconds!
Ryan reached into his jacket pocket for a small pack of self-lights and holding it ready in his right hand.
There's thousands of them! Heading fast toward the top, Ryan.
Ryan looked up and